This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to the Evening Edition. It's Caroline and Ezra. Now, taking a look at our next story. According to reports, next year, for the first time, we'll spend more time using the internet than watching broadcast television.
Yep, that's right. So we're going to be spending 170.6 minutes a day, or nearly 3 hours, on the internet. That's more than 170.3 minutes expected to be spent watching TV. So that's a whole 18 seconds less.
Yeah, and of course, you know, when you mentioned that 170.6 minutes a day, or nearly 3 hours, it's using the internet not just to watch video, but streaming music, chat with friends, browse social media, shop.
So it appears that it's all been lumped together, and we don't really think of it that way, I guess, as consumers, right? You're watching a show, or you're texting a friend, or you're doing some research, yeah, or you're doing a little bit of both, or all three things at the same time. You know, you don't think of it as consumption of the internet as a whole. But I guess it's not surprising. TV has been losing its hold on audiences since Netflix and YouTube has made it easy to watch stuff online. And they even put the stuff that you would find on traditional TV, right?
Yeah, and you know, in some parts of the world, it seems that television will remain on top, at least for now. Zenith forecasted media consumption through 2020 and did not expect the internet to overtake TV in Europe, Latin America, and the whole of North America in that time. But at least in the United States, it was projected to surpass TV in the United States at least in 2 years.
Yep. So let's head over to the lines right now, where we have Matt Armitage with us. Matt is, of course, a regular on Tech Talk, as well as the founder of Culture Pop. Hi, Matt. Always a pleasure to have you with us. So for me and Ezra, I guess the point where our internet consumption surpassed our TV consumption, that arrived a long time ago. but this has come to as a surprise to you at all, that this will only happen on a global scale next year?
No, it didn't surprise me. I mean, I've had chats with a lot of friends over the last few years who say, oh, we don't watch TV anymore. So I say, oh, what do you watch? And they say, well, you know, we just download box sets. And my answer to them is, well, you're still watching TV, because you're still watching the physical TV program. You're just not watching it on that free-to-air medium. I don't think it's that surprising. We talk about sort of internet penetration as though it is something that everybody in the world has, whereas, you know, free-to-air television has been kind of a mainstay of our culture of kind of worldwide culture since the 1930s. And of course, that accelerated post-Second World War in the 1940s and 1950s. So I don't think it's a surprise that we haven't got to the point where internet usage has overtaken it, because we've had that kind of hegemony from TV for sort of 70 or 80 years, and broadband penetration is really only about a decade old. So I think it would be surprising if it had managed to have that kind of impact so quickly.
That's true. However, the research does show that mobile internet usage is taking over in a big way, yet there was only a 3% decrease in time spent on television between the years of 2011 to 2018, which seems like a rather insignificant drop. Matt, can you help us make sense of that?
Don't forget, I mean, we're looking at global numbers, so it doesn't reflect the fact that in some countries and in some geographical locations, there are much more impactful changes in those statistics. So any movement of even those few percent is quite a big shift, but it does disguise the fact that in some countries you're seeing changes of 20 or 30%, and in some parts of the world, I think the Middle East and North Africa, people consume already a lot more mobile internet and internet-based entertainment than they do on TV. And that may also have cultural and political aspects linked to those areas. Because if your state-controlled TV, for example, is just giving you a kind of propaganda reel, but you have access to a relatively free internet connection, or you have access to a VPN, which enables you to access content outside of your country, then you're going to spend more time consuming content online than you are consuming your kind of free-to-air television.
Well, do you think that TVs will eventually become obsolete, or is there a way that they can, I guess, maintain their edge?
Well, for me, this is actually much more of an issue of consumption than internet versus TV. I mean, we are now consuming entertainment in a very different way. We take entertainment on the kind of Netflix model, the binge model. We want to see entire series. And what we are seeing as well is that people are kind of watching more long-form content now and fewer movies. So we're actually seeing a move away from the kind of Hollywood structure to more of a classic TV model. So we are watching more TV programs in that sense. We're just not watching them on TV. We're watching them through services like Netflix. And when you look at companies like HBO and even the BBC, they are also pushing to adopt that kind of streaming box set model. So I think what we may see is the end of the kind of thematic and programmed TV content that we're used to. You know, you watch this program at 9 and this program at 10, and then you go to bed at 11 because that's what good citizens do. Now we have the freedom to watch the content we want at the time we want to watch it. So I think that is going to continue, and I think more traditional broadcasters are going to be adopting that model and essentially making their content available on demand on an internet-based platform.
Matt, you know, it's that binge model that really has been the key to transforming whatever content we consume today. There's a stat in the article that says we spend about 8 hours a day consuming media, which sounds crazy until you remember how doable it is to spend an entire day just sort of binging on Game of Thrones.
I mean, that's the idea. I mean, because you will sit and watch the best part of a whole series. You'll sit there for 4 or 5 hours in front of Netflix in one go, possibly even longer. If you're watching on terrestrial TV and you have a show that is an hour long, you may not want to watch the next show. You may drift off during the advertising break. You may surf to something else and not come back. But you also have something with Netflix that you maybe don't have with terrestrial and free-to-air and satellite TV, which is how many times have you sat there and spent half an hour or 45 minutes browsing for something to watch on Netflix, whereas with the kind of programmatic TV schedules, you just switch it on and choose whichever channel you're going to watch, and you just kind of sit there dumbly and let it wash over you. Whereas with Netflix, you will actually sit there and go through show after show after show looking for something to watch. So you're actually spending a lot of your time on Netflix, but without actually consuming anything. So you're being a very good kind of model consumer for them, because you're there inside their walled garden and you're not even watching the content.
You know, that's really true. You know, the amount of time you spend just going up, down, left and right. Anyway, what do you think this means for our homegrown providers? You know, people like Astro, RTM...
Well, Astro already takes a lot of its content from elsewhere. So does RTM to some extent, although it does have, you know, quotas for locally made productions. It's hard to say what will happen, because when you look at a company like Netflix, Netflix operates at a global level. So if we're looking at RTM, for example, adopting this kind of Netflix or iFlix model, is the market big enough to sustain that commercially? Is that something that will still have to be supported by the government in order for it to function? Those are the things that we don't know at this point. In terms of Astro, I think for the kind of traditional cable and satellite companies, it is a very difficult place to be right now, because they're kind of a hybrid. They have some on-demand services. So it's kind of critical for them to also get into the broadband infrastructure market, because the easiest way to get people onto your platform is to make sure that it's linked to the internet connection that they have coming into their home. If they buy their internet from someone else and then you're selling the cable package on top of that, that's a much more difficult sell. That's why I said in a lot of countries, you see, I mean, I'll use the UK example because that's the one I know. Companies like Sky provide the TV service and the internet service to a large percentage of the population, as do companies like Virgin. Bundling those services together is a kind of much more practical way for the companies to ensure those all-important eyeballs.
But how easy is it for the likes of RTM to potentially transition into an on-demand internet model, especially if it means competing with giants like Netflix?
If you're geared around just licensing third-party content, then that's a relatively cheap way of providing content for your user base so you can keep your subscription fees low. If you're looking at making original content, that's when it starts getting a lot more expensive. And when you start looking at licensing new blockbusters, again, that's where it starts getting a lot more expensive. One of the reasons I think that Netflix moved across into making a lot of original content was because it would cost it so much money to get the rights to something like the new Avengers movie or the latest Marvel or DC or a big movie of the year was. They could make so many series for themselves that would be long form and long running. So rather than getting people's attention for an hour and a half, 2 hours, 2.5 hours for these blockbuster movies, they could get people's attention for multiple series that are about 15 hours long or 10 hours long or 12 hours long or whatever. So, you know, when you see the return on investment, that works for Netflix, but they're in the big money leagues where they can make those decisions. For the smaller players, making original content is a relatively expensive thing to do. Licensing 10-year-old TV series is very, very cheap. So if there's a market for that, then yes, we can see those companies being profitable. When you start looking at being a small to medium player and funding original content, that's when it gets a little bit edgy, I think, because you're going to have to start charging your subscribers more in order to cover your costs and make the profit there.
Well, Matt, thank you very much for joining us on the program. That was Matt Armitage of Culture Pop with his take on our transition from television to internet. Stay tuned to the evening edition. It's BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.